Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller recording on Friday, the 15th of September, at a very early 4:12 p.m. British Summer Time. Okay, early today here because I've got the Opera Faust at the Royal Opera House tonight, and I have to head out a little bit earlier. Okay. This being the Friday big picture audio, I'll run through some of the major themes, but first just a quick review of the week that we have seen. Stock markets have been recovering from a small setback that they had seen last week. The government bond market has been mostly steady, quietly steady, it should be said. But there is no clear evidence that this rally is over. Some of the contracts had faltered, but that does say nothing definitive. The US dollar strong in here today, and it's resumed its recovery against on the dollar index and against a number of currencies. Precious metals have continued weak in here. Against that dollar background and the current negative sentiment that we're seeing towards industrial commodities. Oil down again in here today and getting closer to what I think is that sort of psychological support area around $60, currently at $62.28. And industrial metals, bit easier here overall against the background of the dollar strength. I think those are the main points. Some of the grains were a little bit steadier, but seem to be off the highs. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, as far as the global stock market cycle is concerned, my theme has been very much, as you know, medium-term correction. It ought to be all over by the end of October, and from there on, I would expect more upward bias, and having a fairly strong close to the year, and quite possibly a good run in 2007 and 2008, for reasons relating to the U.S. presidential cycle, for reasons relating to the mini victory that central banks are having against the inflation that they created, and very much in line with the chart patterns that I'm seeing overall. So my outlook here is for a bit more choppy ranging, possibly, as the worst case scenario for global stock markets. And no doubt 2007 and 2008 will provide at least a fright or two, but I don't expect any bear market, and I think that those could be quite profitable years for stock markets generally. Now, what will be very interesting to see, of course, is what markets and what sectors are actually going to lead that strength, assuming I'm right on this hypothesis. Now, the most sensible approach to this, I feel, certainly for me to take, is not to tell the markets what to do, or let alone ask them to do what I would like them to do, but to wait and see what the charts actually show. But the preliminary indications, and again, we'll know much more about this come the end of October and into November, the preliminary indications are that Asian markets, some of the Asian markets are going to be to the fore, not Japan, but Hong Kong, China, the China indices look like they will be to the fore. Malaysia, which had been an underperformer in recent years, could well be among those leaders. And India is doing very well in here overall. So that could certainly be among the leaders. And this argues for a portfolio structured along the lines of what I have in terms of my growth market and my emerging market emphasis, which is invested primarily in the Asian region. So again, with a big overweight in India, that's my favorite market by far. Some of the diversified ex-Japan Asian funds or investment trusts. I bought a little bit of one of those in the Aberdeen New Dawn Fund, not too long ago. That type of thing. There's also among the laggards, and again, I would expect them all to do reasonably well. But what I'm identifying at this stage is the ones that currently are showing the better relative strength that may well make the running. But there's also an important potential catch-up candidate, and that's Thailand. Now, you're probably well aware, certainly veteran subscribers are, anyone who has a position in Thailand, as I do, that the political impasse that we've seen following the disbanded election result, so on, that has certainly kept the market down recently. Valuations are terribly attractive. I've talked about that before. You know that. We're talking about a yield of, I think, 4.6 on the SET, Thai SET index, and multiple of 8, I believe. Now, the electoral board has said that the election's going to be in November. I think it's on either the 19th or the 25th or 26th. They haven't decided which of those dates it would actually be. But an election almost certainly is going to take place in November, and that date had been moved from October, incidentally. I had mentioned the October preliminary date previously, but the new dates say set for November. And if that election takes place, produces a result, and the result is not contested the way the last result was contested, then I think investors are going to heave a big sigh of relief and say there's terrific value in Thailand, and bid that market up. But that hasn't happened yet, and we obviously have at least a couple of months to go before we get there. In terms of resources, now this is a really interesting area because we are hearing a number of people shouting from rooftops, often not for the first time. Maybe some of them have been coming out with a statement for several years saying that the commodity run is over. And they get very noisy when we're seeing a shakeout such as we're seeing right here. And the shakeout, as I pointed out yesterday, is spilled over into some of the mining shares. I posted those charts of Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton. Now, here's what I think is going on. First, those shares had spectacular gains over the 2003, 4, 5, and right in 2006, right on up to the May highs. So it's hardly surprising that they are encountering some profit taking, some good profit taking, or a considerable amount of profit taking, I should say, during the medium-term correction. And it's not all that surprising that they're underperforming right now, given the scare stories about the commodity cycle and some medium-term corrections within those industrial resources markets. And another factor that I think is very important in all this is that during the medium-term correction for stock markets generally, investors understandably moved money away from growth stories, away from what they saw as cyclical stories. I think, incidentally, that the big mining houses have ceased to become or ceased to be cyclical stories, but are growth stories. And they have been buying utilities, they have been buying a certain number of banks, they have been buying supermarkets, They have been buying big pharma companies. So they have retreated into what they felt were the big cap defensive areas. And that's a sort of a logical move for active fund managers to make. Now, here's the thing, though. Are they going to sit around and hold a supermarket share, which has a multiple two or three times higher, price-earnings ratio, that is, two or three times higher than what we see for Rio Tinto and Billiton, and I would argue a much, much slower growth rate. Now, that growth rate assumes that the IMF is close to the mark on its forecast of 4.9% GDP growth for the global economy in 2007, and more importantly within that statistic, a figure of 10% for China, and with India somewhere in the 7.5 to 8% GDP growth range. In other words, continued strong demand for these resources coming from the big population Asian countries, in addition to all the other demand for these resources that would be coming from developed and developing economies in a synchronized phase of global economic expansion. So I think what will happen is that these metal shares, they may well underperform in here for a little longer, mining shares, and then I think people will look at the valuations, and they'll look at the growth potential, they'll look at the cash flow, they'll look at the dividends, they'll look at the buybacks, and come piling back in. So, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm prepared to ride out, because these are investment positions, I'm prepared to ride out some adverse technical action over the short term on the basis that the fundamental underpinnings are really so very good. And the next point I would make here in terms of the overall outlook in terms of markets to follow, sectors to look at, I'm looking forward to the addition of the equity chart library to the Fuller Money service. And I, again, I'll go back to a point I made right at the beginning of this broadcast, to say I want to be able to look at that library, to look through particularly studying the weekly charts, looking for shares, not just markets, but also shares and sectors that are outperforming their indices, and that have the better chart patterns overall. And this is something that veteran subscribers, and some of the veteran subscribers go back for many decades, will recall that I've done following every bearish phase, whether an outright bear market, such as we saw from that 2000 into 2002 and didn't really end until the March 2003 period. Again, looking for that early relative strength, as I did back in March 2003, and also that I've done following every other significant correction, whether a bear market or a medium-term one, such as I believe this correction is limited to, that we've been experiencing since May. So that will be very interesting. Now, that's also work that subscribers can do, and we'll be calling on the Fuller Money Collective in that, because it's a big universe in terms of potential candidates among the various different national and thematic markets. But I'm sure that the charts will reveal lots of interesting opportunities. Okay, moving on to the government bonds. While the commodities are on the defensive, the bonds are likely to remain steady overall. When we see oil bottom, gold bottom, some of the industrial metals bottom, and I think they will correct a bit further, those industrial metals, but when we see them bottoming, that I think will be a major warning that the commodity rally, I beg your pardon, the long-dated government bond rally and I'm talking about rallies in bond prices, so declining yields, that will be into injury time. Now, I don't think we need to hold our breaths for that to happen, but I would expect it to happen at some point in the next few months, not immediately, in other words. As far as currencies are concerned, maybe there were too many people bearish of the dollar overall, and some of those are being squeezed out. I think the dollar is going lower, but I said it would be ranging more often than not, rather than any kind of persistent trend. The best thing I can do, and I believe say at this stage, is let's just wait until we see the dollar get a downward dynamic indicating that this particular rally is over. That will be bullish for precious metals, and it will be bullish for some of the currency plays that we might want to consider against the US dollar. But at the moment, the US dollar is still rallying in here, and I want to take it a day at a time here and just watch the chart signals quite closely. Overall, I don't expect big fireworks in the currency markets, as you probably realize, because, again, this is a background where no government wants a strong currency, and we're going to see more choppy activity, ranging activity, than anything else, and occasionally a spurt that lasts a few weeks and occasionally a few months. There are some currency plays that are unfolding here right now. For instance, petroleum currencies are weak right now in line with the oil price. When we see clear evidence that the oil price has bottomed, those petroleum currencies, I suspect, will begin to strengthen once again. We can look for that development. Where there's talk of interest rates moving up, that will firm currencies. We've had a lot of that as far as sterling is concerned recently. And then the South African rand, that's a currency that I think is almost certainly going to continue to weaken in here. That's certainly the message that I read from the charts, at any rate. Moving on to the commodities sector, I'll take the industrial metals first. You know, I've been talking about nickel and that acceleration upwards and that big psychological resistance up at the 30,000 level. I think we're seeing, in chart terms, we saw type 1 endings for nickel, for copper, for zinc. Those are the biggest gainers. And they came down, though, more slowly than they went up to those highs. So accelerated up the highs, came back a bit more slowly. And usually when that happens, you get a return rally retesting the high, and then a failure. And I think that's what's going to take place. I think we see some evidence of that the rallies are running into resistance near the highs once again, which would hardly be surprising against this background of bearish talk on commodities. I would imagine that there are a lot of investors who would have participated in these metals who are experiencing a bit of vertigo, and with all that talk going on, would understandably step aside. So I think we can see an additional sell-off, but I think it's most likely just going to be a medium-term correction for these industrial metals as well. And you could really argue that the correction hadn't started yet, or hasn't started yet, for things like nickel. And my hunch is that the metal prices, though, will get that correction and that they will bottom well above the average levels that analysts are forecasting for the next 12 months when they prepare their future earnings estimates for companies like BHP Billiton and Rio Tinto. So in other words, these metals could fall really quite sharply in the short to medium term and still represent levels where the earnings cash and cash flow will be better than analysts are currently projecting, and there are some reasonably bullish forecasts out there as well. And other evidence of this, just to support this hypothesis, have a look at what's going on with the steel prices. There are two charts in the library. I posted them today, and anytime you want to look at those, just go into the chart library, use the search engine in the library, type in steel. It'll take you directly to them if you don't want to use the drop-down menu. Okay, and agricultural commodities, very much a weather play, I think, more than anything else. But I've gone on quite a while in this broadcast here, so I think I'll bring it to a close. Last thing I'll mention is that I heaved out my disastrous natural gas trade in here today. I probably sold at the bottom. Including spread bet commissions, I sold my October position at 48.09, and it's above that now. I wouldn't be at all surprised if I sold at the bottom of the market, but the point is that this was not and this was not the type of long-term strategy that I want to have. The best and safest way for me to make money in these markets is to buy something that is clearly trending in my favor and to build it up gradually and use trailing stops on positions and leverage it up accordingly behind trailing stops on my earlier purchases. Anybody who's been around for a year or more as a subscriber will have seen me do that with a number of instruments. And the natural gas, hoping that hurricane was going to come along or that the base building activity would be was near completion, and that this would move up a little bit more quickly than it has. Well, I'm not willing to hold something any longer that's just not performing. I'm going to write about it on Monday because I think there are lessons in terms of overall trading policies, and I broke a few of my own rules in terms of trading with natural gas. I know I can make the money back and look forward to doing so in something else, almost certainly. And my big regret regarding natural gas is that a number of other people, number of subscribers with trading interests, would have also lost money in natural gas. And for that, I do apologize. So, that's it here for another week. Interesting times. Best action is in these global stock markets. And I wish you all a very, very happy weekend. All the best.